Hey, New Life Gillette Church, we are thrilled you decided to listen to our teaching on your favorite podcast app. If you made a decision to follow Christ today, would you let us know by visiting yes.newlifegillette.com? Here is this week's teaching.
Hey, I want to say hello to everyone online, everyone at the prison. If you're watching at the jail, hello, Spencer. We love you. So we're talking about money. Everybody says we're not excited about it. Seth started out with nobody likes to talk about that. I like to talk about money. You know, I think most people that are generous and that are obedient in money, they don't mind talking about money. So I don't mind talking about money. And CJ warned you last week that we're going to have four Sundays in a row. So you might plan your vacation if you don't like it that much. I did research this by the Google. It said that 15% of Jesus's teachings were about money. 40% of his parables were about money or possession. Jesus often talked about money to expose the condition of our heart. God doesn't want our wallets. He wants our hearts. Money is just one of the clearest indicators of what already has our hearts. Matthew 6:21 says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Some of you have already shifted in your seats, huh? Folded your arms and you're looking a little grumpy out there. And I get it. I get it. And God gets it. You know, this is a tough subject for some people. But I just want you to question yourself, like, why does that bother you in church? Why would that bother you to hear that in church? I walk through life with a lot of people. That's what I get to do most of my days, is walk through life. And the condition of somebody's heart usually comes out in our conversation. And it usually comes out what they're rebelling against eventually, the hardest. And there's five ways that it usually comes out. And that is anger. You know, why is the pastor always talking about this? It's crazy what some of you guys filter through. You know, it really is. I mean, some of the things that you guys filter it, and like, I can't believe it. I'm not going there anymore because of that. It is kind of crazy. And I just ask that you, if you're easily offended by biblical truth, if you would just run to God with it. Ask him why. Change my heart, Lord. So anger. Dismissive. All right? Like, my wife knows my needs and she's okay with... And then you fill in the blank. Or my husband knows that's just the way I am, right? You're dismissive, you know, whatever we're talking about. Or like, I would tithe, but do you realize how expensive stuff is? Dismissive. Third one would be blaming. Credit cards. They prey on people. If they didn't make it so easy, I'd have money. Amazon. If Amazon didn't deliver to my house every day, like 15 packages a day, I would have money. It's everybody else's fault. And that's why we don't have money, to be obedient and to surrender to God. And I can just tell you, no matter what we're talking about from here, it's going to always lead back to surrender and obedience. So we just happen to be talking about money today. The fourth way would be, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. You ever hear that? It's like the guy that's in front of the judge for the 10th time. He's saying, "Judge, I'm sorry. Please have mercy, but I'm not sorry enough that I'm going to change it." That I hear that quite often. But then there's the fifth way. It's God's way. It's when you finally get sick of doing it your way and you go, "Okay, I'm sick of fighting against you." So instead of in your heart as you're sitting there, and you're going through the first four of them, and you've believed the lies that you've been telling yourself about tithing and generosity, just pray that God would speak to your heart. Pray that you would learn to quit using the excuses. My prayer today is that we can just calm ourselves, listen to what God has to say, and work towards obedience. I want to shift gears for a minute. This is when it gets fun. Money is exciting. And the reason I like money is because it's exciting. Things are exciting, right? And so we're going to give away a little money today. This is real money. So let's get some music going. I want to do it like a rock star. right here. Yeah, we got a money shooter. Yeah, it's yours to keep. Get it. Get it. You guys get to keep this. It's out. Okay. Money goes fast. Money goes fast. All right. We can't help but get excited about money, right? Hey, by the way, those are new from the Federal Reserve note. I mean, I had to call around banks and say, hey, I need new dollars. They only had tens, this bank. And for some of you conspiracy theorists out there, brand new, number ordered, the date on them is 2017. That would get some of you conspiracy theorists all excited about that. But money buys happiness, right? That's the lie that we've bought into. We spend it on coffee, like it's the only thing that can get us through the day. You know, I've heard people say, Chad, you don't even know what I'm like if I don't have my coffee or Red Bull in the morning. And I just tell you, go ahead and keep telling yourself that, and you'll get stuck with that very thought. What about clothes? Man, I need these new clothes, right? I need this to match that, to match my shoes. I need a new pair of shoes. I got a special occasion. I need clothes. What's a special occasion? Oh, well, I'm taking the kids to McDonald's for lunch, you know? You know? The boat is the only thing that keeps my family connected, you know? I have to have that. Or I have to save for vacation because you guys don't understand how hard I work. See, these are all good things. These are all can be good things. And I'm just picking on some coffee drinkers this morning. I brought mine up here this morning, Folgers Black. But they're all good things unless we put them in a place that God didn't intend them to be. And then they're nothing more than idols. All these things can be good things. But if God doesn't have our heart, they're idols. So don't raise your hand, but how many people bought a ticket to the Challenger on last year the church was giving away? Or how many of you have bought like a lottery ticket in the last year or so? I'm just asking. I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want everybody else judging like, oh, there's a bunch of gamblers in this church. But it's amazing how often we can find money for something that we feel like we're going to get something back out of. You know, like $100 for a chance to win a Challenger, that's a risk I'll take. I can find that, but I don't have money for tithing. But God says, I gave you everything. I've given you everything already, everything you need. I gave you my son. Are any of you like me when you buy a lottery ticket, you become like an idol factory? I mean, my mind, I don't buy them very often just because of this. I really do. I start like, man, I can have jets now. I can do cool things. I like start bargaining with God like, hey, God, I'll give you yours if you just hook a brother up. I'm just telling you, you know. We bought a ticket for the Challenger. My wife bought several tickets for the Challenger, thinking that our lives would be just a little bit better if we had that Challenger in the driveway. The truth is, behind that Challenger, I like cars. I like Challengers. I've got some cool cars. But I said something stupid years ago. I said, if a Challenger is ever sitting in my driveway, you'll know I've arrived. That's a stupid comment. Because the truth of it is, I'll never arrive this side of heaven. And the closest thing we can ever get to arriving here on earth is abiding in Jesus. That's the closest thing. The story behind the Challenger, I asked the guy permission if I could tell the story, but I was getting ready to leave church. And as many of you know, I mean, people come up to me. I walk through life with people. Guy approached me. I said, how are you doing? He says, I'm not doing good. I'm about ready to lose my house. I said, you're not doing good. So we talked. I said, I noticed you had a Challenger on Marketplace for sale. And he said, yeah, if I don't sell it in the next week, I'm going to lose my house. I prayed with him. And as my wife and I were leaving to walk to the truck, she asked me what was going on. And I told her. And she says, do we need to buy that Challenger? I started to get excited. I could arrive. But we just left this building. And we just walked away, and you know, and we treat this building, a lot of us treat it as if this is where God dwells, but we're the church. He dwells in us. But we often want to leave him over there. And when we do that, when we leave him in this building, don't take him with us, we miss out on the good stuff. But I've seen so many hearts changed in this building. I've seen so many lives change in this building. And Pastor Mike was just talking about how he's going to come and start asking about for more money. Because during COVID, COVID screwed up a lot of things, if you guys didn't notice. It's given us a lot of excuses anyways, but we couldn't finish the project for the All-In project. So he's coming for more money, right? Because, man, there's this youth that just keeps growing, and we need more lives changed. So we needed more space. And he was coming to us at that time so more lives could be changed. And so God spoke to my heart at the moment and changed it from, boy, I will have arrived if I get this, to tell my wife, yeah, we can, but only if we give it away. Because the truth is, you guys, I've chased a lot of things in my life, and they always fall short. And I knew this would too. And some of you might say, oh, yeah, well, it must be easy. I didn't know we had the money, first of all. But we did, and we bought it. And you say, oh, it's easy if I had your money. It'd be easier. Well, sometimes, you know, those are $10 bills. Sometimes it seems easier to give $1 back to God on a $10 bill, because I know people personally that tithe more money than you and I will make in a year. There's some cool stuff that you could buy with our yearly salaries. And don't think that temptation is any less just because you have money. It's your heart, and God wants our hearts. We gave some employees $100. Years ago, we gave all of our employees $100 around Christmas and said, give it away. Just give it away. If you need it, they were going to get their bonus, but just give it away. If you need it, I'll never judge you, whatever. But one guy went out and gave it away. And he brought back a story, and photos, because he treated it like an event. Like he was handing the guy the $100, and it was like, but he said it was the greatest feeling he's ever had in his life. He wasn't a Christian at the time. He said it was the greatest feeling. He says, even when I used to do drugs, Chad, I mean, there's never a feeling better than this. I said, yeah, it's because God, that's the way God created us. That's the way he wired us. Jesus talked about money so much because he knew it would reveal our true heart. I bet you the camera's just driving. I'm nervous today. I'm just like walking all over the place. Yeah, giving you a workout back there. Because he knew it would reveal our true heart. I know many of you might say, but you don't understand my situation. I've got a mountain of medical bills. Well, God's not asking you not to pay your medical bills. I can promise you that. And you don't know what I know. My wife's had 2 open heart surgeries. I understand medical bills. This is when it gets uncomfortable, though. This is why nobody wants to talk about it. There can be a season, no doubt, but did you know that you could live a lifetime and have the excuse that things always come up, that things get in the way, that things cost too much? It's hard, I know, because it reveals our hearts. The same people that say, I can't tithe, or I can't tithe more money, are often in lines buying $8 coffee, saving for vacation, or have the newest iPhone. And whatever it is, it's not the item, it's the heart. And some of you right now are wishing that I'd be struck by lightning. You know, I do comedy, man. I like stand-up comedy, right? I can come up here. I'm easier to entertain you guys and make you laugh. I can promise you that. But you know what? My favorite shows are when I get to end it with truth in a church, because comedy is like the things that we buy. It's so temporary, right? It's going to leave. This is eternal stuff. This is giving God our heart. This is a relationship with the one that created us. But let's have an honest conversation. You know, the church uses 10% a lot for tithing. It's an Old Testament thing. But it's a good place to start if you can get there. But he says he wants you to be generous. He wants you to give with a gracious heart. So he doesn't want you doing it to check the box. He wants it because he knows that our hearts will follow that. So I ask you, really, what's that thing that's on your heart so much? I can tell you I've had things. I had a boat when my wife and I were first married. On the back of it says, "Who's your daddy?" I can tell you what had my heart. Yeah. I pulled it with an old vehicle that I could only go up hills at 40 miles an hour. People were passing me, "Who's your daddy?" "Who's your daddy now?" That wasn't part of this, but I can't help myself. But can you pay down debt without constantly buying something else that keeps you into this heavy heart that you want to be obedient, but you're never going to get there? Are you at the same place that you were at? You know, they do a $20, start with a $20 a month gift and stuff like that. Are you at that place to go, "Oh no, I can get to this 10% or 20%. Some of you are going to need to give like 30, 40%. And I'm just saying that for it in order for God to have your heart. And that's a real statement. Some of us, that's what he wants is our heart. It's not about the money. But are you in the same place that you were at 6 months ago or a year ago saying, "Oh yeah, someday"? Man, we believe our lies so much. God's wanting our hearts. Everything else on earth is going to fall short. It's exhausting chasing them. I can tell you I've chased more than most. It's an everyday battle. It takes effort and being intentional every day to chase him over our selfish desires. But as we truly start believing that the time on earth is short, I mean, anybody over about 45 knows this time is short. When we really start realizing how much he really loves us, when we start realizing that his ways are better than our ways, we can start maturing in our faith. We can start doing the things that God's asked us to do, and then that results in the good stuff. Not to earn our salvation. It's not to earn our salvation, but it exposes our hearts. I think this shift happens when we show up and we listen to the word and we just start doing it. We just go, "Okay, God, I don't even have to understand it," because most of it doesn't make sense to us, right? But he does reveal it to us. How many of you wanted to go to bed early as a little kid or take a nap? Yeah, you're a liar. You do now because you're old. But when you're a little kid, you didn't because you thought you were going to miss out on the good stuff, right? But our parents knew better. They saw us, what we were like when we skipped the nap because we thought we were missing out. And then we threw a fit on the floor and we were a wreck. That's what they got to see in our lives, right? They knew better. Then we got a little older and a little more tired. And we saw the value in rest over the things that we thought we were going to miss out on. That's when I think the heart change happens. We just started going to bed earlier. We need to grow in our maturity and our relationship with God. We need to decide why we're doing that. And I think when we realize it's because he loved us. He loves us. He knows better. His ways are better than ours. It no longer feels like rules that we have to follow, but we have to start the process to get the understanding. It doesn't just happen. It's trusting and believing. But when we start seeing God for who he is, we confess our sins and we run towards him, we start having a heart change. 2%, 5%, 10%, 30%. Some of you might need to give it all away. But he knows what our heart chases. He knows what our hearts long for. And he says, "My ways are better. Just trust me." He's a perfect father. He sent his son to die for our sins so we can be in this relationship. It's worth it. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies, your heart, to God, because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." When I read this, I can't help but read this as a child. I must trust him, give him my life and my body as a living and holy sacrifice. A lot of times as Christians, we sell that as an easy package, right? Just come to know him, man. He'll take care of all that stuff. It's so much harder to live it out. But we're missing out the good stuff when we don't. Paul's writing this in the 12th chapter. That's where the 12 comes from. After 11 chapters of telling us why we should want to live this life, why it's a blessing for us. I encourage you to read it. No kid at the age of 4 grabs the hand of a loving adult and then looks both ways before crossing the road, unless you've been teaching them like you should. Like, hey, Junior, be looking both ways before you cross the road because some knucklehead's going to run you over. But nobody just starts out that way because we just trust. But all too often, we trust that same hand and we want to walk across the street. But then when it comes to taking a nap, we go, nope. I mean, this is born in us at a very young age, that our defiance, our stuff is a fight forever, whether or not we're going to surrender to him and be obedient to him, or we're going to fight taking the nap. So, do you want the goodness that comes with trusting him? Or are you saying, Lord, I know you love me, but I'm not taking a nap. Do you remember the feeling of trusting as a child? You know, you might not. Some of you can't remember what you had for breakfast. But if you remember that, we've all seen it. We see it in the park. We see it in the schools. You know, the little kid grabbing out there, that warm feeling. Some of you had crummy childhoods, but you still see that. And we still long for that feeling. That's what he's saying at this point. Just trust me. Just trust me. I know better. Come to me. Quit chasing all this other stuff. Come to me. I'll give this to you. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 say all the things that we want in life. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no laws against these things. This is what we're all chasing. Obedience does equal happiness. I don't know if you realize that, but it does, because it gives us these things. It doesn't make sense to the world. It doesn't make sense to our minds until we start doing it. But when you get it, you don't mind talking about money. Many of us have put our faith in coffee more than we have our Creator. I mean, really, we think, man, that's going to bring me the joy, peace, and patience. There's some of you that I'm pretty sure that you think that coffee is the only thing that keeps you out of prison. We believe these lies so easily, don't we? I keep bringing up coffee because I think it's relatable. Should take a drink just because. But anything that takes our money and puts us outside of the ability to be obedient is robbing us of the good stuff God has for us, the stuff we're all longing for. To fully understand this, we have to understand the love that he has for us, right? But in our culture, we often think that if I do good, God will love me. If I don't do good, God won't love me. Did you know that he loved you before you were born? He loved you before you could do anything good or do anything bad. And I hope that's what gets planted on your heart today, that he loves you. Because I can tell you, when you fully understand how undeserving you are and how much he loves you, it drives you towards the obedience. That's what drives it. And this is wild to me, because I am in awe of a God every day. I just naturally wake up and say, thank you, God, for another day, and thank you for loving me. Because I can't believe that he still loves a wretched guy like me. I mean, I know I look better than some of you, but I really am. I can't believe that he loves me. And I'm surprised that he loves some of you guys, to be honest, but he does. Yeah. I say that. I needed a comic relief during some of this. It's heavy, all right? But he does. He loves you. And I hope that that goes on into your heart. But I'm telling you, this stuff is brought up because it reveals our heart. That's why the subject is so hard. It is so hard. Do you remember when you asked the Holy Spirit to dwell in you? You know, anybody that is saved, anybody that doesn't know God, hey, these are the things that God will lead you to, these peace, patience, I'm telling you. And for anybody that accepted Christ and asked the Holy Spirit to dwell in them and is focused just on getting out of hell, you'll focus on behavioral modification. And I can tell you, it's exhausting, and your heart will be revealed by your motives. And it is not the way to do Christianity. That's not what he intended. Sure, we can fake it for a while. That's why money, we keep bringing up money and generosity, because it reveals our heart. Yeah, well, maybe I just wanted to check the list, like the get out of hell free card. Don't miss out on the good stuff that comes along with the relationship. He doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. You know, CJ mentioned last week, our hearts are corrupt. That's why I can't believe how much he loves us. I mean, it's Cain and Abel. CJ talked about it last week. You know, they both, brothers, both brought a portion to God. Let's say it was around 10%. But he rejected one and he accepted the other. And some of you might say, well, that's not fair. They both did it. Well, one of them checked a box, but he didn't give him his heart. The other one gave him his best, and he was doing it for the right motives. Tithing doesn't change God's heart towards us, but it reveals our heart towards God. God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. Tithing is just one of the clearest ways our hearts become visible. If we want to talk or want to live a life that is holy and sacrificial, you have to allow him to transform the way you think. You know, are you letting him change you so much that you don't look like the rest of this world? It says don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. Are you letting him change you so much that you don't look like that? Guess what? You'll have to quit saying the things that you've hung your hat on all these years, right? This is a hard subject to preach on, because guess what? It's a ongoing journey, and it's very convicting of me too. He said he will change the way you think, but I can promise you that is only followed by you changing the way you say things. You can't keep telling yourself, I've heard 1,000 times, I'm not a morning person. I can't wake up in the morning and read my Bible, spend time with him. I can't do it. I'm not a morning person. I said, great. Are you doing it in the evening? Oh, no, I'm too busy. Can't have it both ways. You got to either quit telling yourself you're not a morning person, get up in the morning, spend time with him, or you have to tell yourself that you have to quit telling yourself that you're too busy. You know, that's the things that we believe, though, and and that's Satan at his best. He loves us to believe those lies. Like, nope, this is who I am. No, he says he'll transform you, but you have to change the way you think. You know, anybody that's had addiction, anybody that's worked through this has went through this process. And pretty soon you're just like, nope, I'm never doing drugs again. I'm never doing drugs. I'm not going to do this. And it's a struggle. And then pretty soon, guess what? Most of us are freed of that after a while. But it started with changing your mind instead of going, this is who I am, man. Don't just float through life. Just keep moving towards him. I promise you, we'll never get there this side of heaven. It's a journey. But if he truly has our hearts, we'll want to work towards that. Matthew 6:21 says, again, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. But I have good news for you. I know it doesn't feel like I've had good news for you. But like the 1,000th times that I've had to reset because I blew it again, God's just there at every moment, loving you, just sitting there going, hey, just turn back to me. All I want is your heart. It's pretty simple. If we wake up in the morning and we start going, okay, man, I am not deserving that. Just because I checked one little of my own little boxes that I thought I was good, now I'm a little bit closer to God. Now that I'm there, whew, way to go, chat. No, I'm so unworthy, and I appreciate that, Lord. And then you repent. I'm so sorry for these things, and you chase him, and you start surrendering. So what steps are you making towards obedience? Does your actions align with biblical truth or along with your lies and excuses? Malachi 3, 3 through 10, I'm just going to summarize it. It says, should people cheat God, yet you have cheated me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. If you do, I will open the window of heaven for you. Whew, it doesn't get any better than that. Obedience gives us the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Remember those ones from way back a couple minutes ago? And you're all looking at me like you forgot them already. Those are the things that he gives. It allows us to experience a little bit of heaven on this crummy, fallen, sinful world. He wants our hearts. So let's be honest about the lies that we've been telling ourselves. What are you holding back? I know we're talking about money right now, but we're always talking about obedience and surrender from here. I guarantee every message, we just finished with the Ten Commandments. Every single one of those said, if you just obey these things, if you just surrender these things, you will find a happiness that you've never experienced before. Every single time. That's what this stage is for. We will never get it all right, but are you living with excuses and our lies? Let today be that day that you make another step. Start over for the 1,000th time if you're a slow learner like me. But I have one last question. Was the excitement of the money that was being shot out here, is that more exciting than the biblical truth that if you are obedient, you will receive these things? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for everyone here. Lord, I just ask that you speak to their hearts. You know where they're at, Lord. You know what all of our hang-ups are. Lord, whether it's cars or jobs or women or drugs or whatever it is, Lord, you know all you want is our heart. Lord, I just ask you to forgive me. I just ask that you just, man, I'm thankful that you love us. As we go, Lord, change us, remind us, allow us to not believe the lies and allow us to stay focused on the biblical truth and the stuff that you're asking for. In Jesus' name, amen.